about being able to be part of life. Thank you so much for the name tags. That was an idea from one of our members here at the church. They said, what if we did that? And how many have appreciated that? You're able to actually know who the other person is, even though you've been with them for a while. And so thanks for that. Marilee and I want to say thank you again for letting us merge into the life of this church. This is really only our second Sunday as we have opportunity to be together. We have been sticking around after service, and we will in the future as well, as long as we possibly can. Today, we have an open house. We're selling our home in Avon. We're looking to move into Leroy. And so thank you. Would you pray that that might literally, somebody might just walk in there today and say, this is the place I've been looking for all my life. And but because of that open house, we have to bail out like by noon today. We have to be on the road and get there and rescue our dog and take care of everything else that has to happen. So thanks for that. Don't forget that next Sunday is our back to church official opening. Many folks are still vacationing, and we understand that. But next Sunday, we would love for you to invite someone to come and be a part of a very special service together. We'll have some greetings from Pastor Jack and Sandy, from Pastor Pete and Deb Miller, and just others just leaning in to say something to us in this new season as we are moving forward. So if you'll do that, invite somebody who you know maybe used to attend here but isn't attending a church any longer. Make sure that they know that this door is open for them to return, that we would love to have them come and be part of this. Maybe you know somebody that doesn't attend anywhere, and you can extend an invitation to them to be a part of life. And maybe just somebody you meet on the street, let them know that you want them to be a part of what the Lord is doing in the church. Let's take a moment to pray as we open the Word. Father, I thank you for the fact that you've already spoken to us today through prophecy. You've already called us to take down our guard and to allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us so that you could free us. I thank you for your people. I thank you for who we are corporately. I thank you for each of us individually, and pray that this time as we open the Scripture together, that it will be profitable for each of us, that it will draw us closer to you and give us what we need to know that we might glorify you in all of life. And that's our prayer today as we open your Scripture in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. You're going to see a slide pop up on the screen. And we're talking today about a people of God's purpose and presence and power. And particularly, we've been talking from this inscription that is found as you come into the main lobby of our church. It says, a people of his purpose, presence, and power. And to go along with that today on that same theme, I want to talk about being a house of God's presence, a house of his fullness. In other words, the fullness that God desires us to experience. Sometimes we call that experiencing God's glory. We'll define that in coming weeks. But also the fullness that enables us to fulfill the will of God in the earth. I'm going to turn to Psalm 133, if you'd like to look at that with me this morning, that speaks about the blessing that God commands to come upon his people who dwell, who live together in harmony and in unity. Notice the inspired words of Psalm 133. He writes, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edges of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now, if you have a hard copy of the Bible or there in your hand on your device, you can see that this opening of this psalm, it will say something like the song of ascent or the song of degrees. There are 15 psalms in this section that are referred to as the psalms of ascent. They were sung by Israel, the tribes of Israel, as they ascended to Jerusalem at three different times a year. The people of Israel, once they got into the promised land, were called to assemble themselves on three different occasions in Jerusalem. They had to come from all areas of the land. All tribes came together. During the spring, it was Passover. During the early summer, it was Pentecost. And during the fall, it was Tabernacles. And this gathering together was a unique opportunity for the children of Israel to come into one place and to honor and glorify the name of the Lord and to experience the fullness of his presence where he said for them to come. Some have called this psalm the Psalm of Brotherhood. Others have called it the Communion of Saints. As David pronounces the word of the Lord, that God promises a blessing to those who dwell together, who assemble together in unity. Now again, think about this as they are coming from all different places and different regions. The different 12 tribes are coming together from all their various walks of life, but they are gathering for one purpose, to worship the Lord in his holy temple. And that fact, the preservation of their unity, was one of the reasons they came together and they made this pilgrimage. Assembling together in the presence of the Lord is what bound them together as the people of God. I think we could see the analogies into New Testament truth where the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and even more so as you see that day approaching. How many see that day approaching? How many know what I'm talking about? There's a day that when we will be with him in fullness, in literal presence of God, when Jesus returns to this world. But for right now, we're called to assemble. We're called to come together. There's a lot of different ways that and things that bind us together with other people in life. You may be tied to people because of family ties or friendships that you have established. It might be another level where you share a similar occupation with someone or similar interests. Maybe you have a common taste or a common preference, and you know people through those various areas of life. But there is no unity like that which comes from the common desire to meet with God and to be obedient to his will. See, this unity that we have right now in the Holy Spirit takes us beyond anything that makes us different physically or mentally or socially or racially. All of that is broken down by the unifying purpose that we have, that we want to worship God in spirit and in truth. All those other things that would divide us are set aside because we have one common interest, one common purpose, and that is that we would share his life, the very life of Christ. We would eat one food, the very word of God, and we would drink of one spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And that expression of unity arises from this common desire that you and I would know and love and honor and serve and glorify and magnify the name of Jesus. That's the name that we will lift above every other name. Can you say amen? That's the only name that this world needs to hear about. That's the name of Jesus. So to illustrate the power of unity, David, who wrote this psalm, Psalm 133, chooses two word pictures that I want you to see. The first begins in verse number 22. I'm sorry, in verse number 2, where he recalls the anointing and consecration of Aaron, who was the high priest of Israel, as he was being set apart for service to God with fragrant oil. It says that this unity is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. This is taking us back to the book of Exodus and chapter 29, where Aaron was called to stand before the Lord, and he was anointed with oil as the sign of the Spirit of God coming upon him, enabling him to be the priest. The Latin word for priest, by the way, is pontifex. It means a bridge builder. He's the one who builds a bridge to God and God back to man through this priest, if you will. He will be the one who represents the people to God, and he will be the one who represents God to the people. This beautiful consecration. The second word picture is in verse number 3, and it refers to the refreshing dew of Mount Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. I want to go back and look at the anointing, and then we're going to look at the dew. And both of those are going to give us an understanding of what God does to a people and how he blesses a people who determine to live with him in unity, who live together in harmony and determine to be his people. So first of all, go back to verse number 2. The unity of God's people is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. Now in ancient times and in many cultures even today, the use of scents or ointments or perfumes are a real necessity. I don't know if you've traveled widely or if you've been out of the country, but oftentimes in other cultures, I can think of times where I've been in a hotel and gotten into an elevator, and somebody has just been in that elevator who was highly perfumed and beautiful spices, and the fragrance of their presence is still lingering in the elevator even after they have gone. So the Bible's talking about some of those fragrances right now when it uses this phrase, precious oil. There's lots of different oils mentioned in the Bible, but this one, precious oil, is referring to an anointing oil that was made up of 5 ingredients. It was made up of olive oil and then 4 different scents that were added to it. God himself commanded, selected, approved the ingredients and the quantities of each one of those to mix together this very special oil. And this oil was not to be used anywhere except exclusively for the anointing of the priest into service. So the oil that is here, this precious oil, is symbolizing for us the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that comes upon his people. Each of the priests were to be anointed with oil, but Aaron is specifically called out here because he is the head. He is the high priest of Israel. He is the representative of all the other priests. And so David says that this unity that we experience when we come together as God's people is like the fragrant perfume that was poured out on Aaron's head and then ran down his beard and over his body all the way to the very edges of his robe. Now, I want to show you a picture. In Exodus chapter 28, we are told that the high priest wore a breastplate. So on his chest, he had this unique embroidered piece of cloth, and on it, there were these precious stones. You can see 4 rows of precious stones, 3 in each row, totaling 12, each of them having the name of one of the tribes of Israel inscribed on the stone. So I want you to understand what is happening. As the anointing is coming upon the high priest, it is coming down his beard and over each and every one of the tribes, each and every one of the people of God. All of them that belong to the Lord are being anointed by God through a representative high priest. Are you following me? I'm not boring you, am I? I'm not trying to. You say you're doing a good job of it, Jim. No, I'm not. I'm trying not to. Listen, this anointing oil comes down and it's covering the people of God. It's falling on the people of God through the high priest, right? See, I have to be honest with you. Sometimes you'll hear this phrase. There'll be some leader in the church somewhere and they'll say, "Don't touch God's anointed," as if it's some kind of protection for one man. No. This is showing us that you know who God's anointed are? Look around right now. Look around at the people of God. This is who receives the anointing. And take that picture now. Take that picture and go into the New Testament with me, to the book of Hebrews. I'll put it up. You don't have to turn. You won't get there unless you're a Baptist. But anyway, I'm kidding. We love the Baptists. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, it tells us that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Jesus, in the Old Testament, Aaron was representative of Jesus. He was type of Jesus. And as the anointing was coming on him, it's in the New Testament, it shows us that Jesus is our high priest. And he is the one who is anointed. How many know? We refer to him as Jesus Christ. Now, Christ was not his last name. Jesus the Christ. Christ means anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus, similar to our high priest, the one who receives the oil, the one who receives the anointing, the one who we are under, who he carries on his heart. And as the Holy Spirit is poured on him, so because we are his body and he is the head, the anointing on him comes upon us as his people, right? That word Christ is Greek. The Hebrew word is Messiah. It's the same word. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, the anointed one. And where do we get that from? It comes from Psalm 45 and verse 7. Look at it. God has anointed our high priest. It says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than all of your companions. How many know that the Son of God is the anointed one? In fact, if you look at this in another translation, the New Living Translation, it says, God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. That's the one we worship, Jesus, the anointed one. And in the same way that the oil was poured on Aaron and the high priest and flowed down over his entire body, so the anointing of unity that we enjoy is the unity of the Holy Spirit, this precious ointment that pours forth from Jesus Christ, our great high priest and head of the church. His holy anointing is a picture of the ministry of the Holy Spirit among us. One of the evidences of that was the word of prophecy that we heard today. God was saying to us, I am in your midst. That you are an anointed people. My spirit is here with you. I have something to say to you. This holy anointing oil pictures the ministry of the Spirit descending as a sweet smelling savor over God's people, enabling us to live together in harmony and cooperation. And when we gather together in the name of Jesus, I come expecting to meet the Holy Spirit in this place. I come to expecting to meet Jesus here. This sacramental anointing that came upon Aaron was a divine commissioning. See, he and his sons were not supposed to minister until they had been anointed. And the same for us. Our service is not to be done in the service of the flesh, in the strength that you and I can muster in and of ourselves. But we are to trust the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come mightily upon us so that we can do his will. The anointing is for a purpose. Look at it in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38. It tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So in the same way, this fragrant oil is poured out on the high priest and comes down over the body. You and I are to experience the fresh anointing of God in this place. And that's my prayer for us. I pray that every time you come here, that it won't just be to come and observe something or just be here physically, but to be present, as Eric encouraged us this morning. Let's be present and let's be receiving from the Lord. Even right now, the anointing that breaks the yoke is available. If you're carrying that heavy backpack that Coley talked about, and you're like, no, I'm not letting go of it. You know what? Even right now, why don't you just put that thing by your feet and give it a good kick? Don't kick the person next to you, but give it a good kick and get that thing away from you. And just say, you know what? I'm receiving the anointing of the Lord in this moment because I'm His child. Now I want to share with you the second one of these pictures, and I won't go as long, but notice with me in verse number 3, it says that this anointing is not only like oil, but it's like dew. Verse 3, the anointing, let's go back to, back to Psalm 133 and verse 3. There we go, Psalm 133 and verse 3. It is like the dew of Hermon descending on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now notice this. He says that this unity, this anointing, this move of the Spirit among His people, first of all, is like oil that's been poured on the high priest and comes down over all the body. And secondly, it's like dew that falls on Mount Hermon. Now, Mount Hermon, here's a picture of it, was the highest mountain, still is the highest mountain in that part of the world. It has a range of the peaks of which are about 9,000 feet high. It's not in Israel. It's in Lebanon. It's north of Israel. It's not even in the land. And they tell us that if you were to spend the night on Mount Hermon, you would wake up in the morning being totally drenched from the dew that would fall on you while you were there. You would be soaking wet because the dew would be that heavy. And this is a picture of what God wants us to have. That as we determine to move together with one heart, with one mind, with one soul, with the single purpose of knowing the Lord, to respond to Him obediently in joyful corporate worship, then He will respond by putting His blessing upon us, and times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refresh. How many just want to get drenched in glory? Like just drenched. Just drenched. How many just, you know, I'm gonna just wake up and you're wet. Like the bed, you're just drenched in the presence of God, right? This dew symbolizes that which is invigorating, that which is stimulating, that which is revitalizing. It is the emblem of God coming upon His people. In fact, over in Hosea 14:5, God says, I am like the dew to Israel. Like, that's what I am. My glory will come upon you. So notice again on this text in Psalm 133 and verse 3, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. So here's the question. If this great mountain range isn't in Israel, it's in Lebanon, how does that mountain affect Zion? How does that mountain affect Jerusalem? How does that mountain affect all of Israel? And the answer is very simple, that this towering peaks that you saw and the melting snow become the major supply of water for the Jordan River that flows into the heart of Israel. So that which is on the high places finds its way to the lowest places. It begins to trickle down and bless the lower valleys. And so there's a picture here for us. God says that as we at Living Waters determine to walk in unity together, the cool, life-restoring dew of His presence will continually fall upon us. But it's not just for us. It's so that we can take it to the lowest places of our community, to the lowest places of our workplace, the lowest places of our classrooms, the lowest places of our region. It's not just so that we can experience the refreshing, but that we can become the refreshing to others as well. And so as this dew falls, dry hearts and dry lives and even dry churches in our region can be revitalized and refreshed and restored and renewed by the beautiful presence and power of the Holy Spirit. See, we don't know that what's up on the high places melts and comes on down to you and me. We don't know the far reaches this church has already had around the globe. We don't know how many lives have been touched and impacted because of what this church has done through its 30 plus years. We don't know what's ahead for us and the influence that we can have. But the greatest influence we will have is by being a people of His purpose, a people of His presence, and a people of His power. And we make that the focus of our prayers. And we say, God, we just, when we come together, would you just anoint us fresh with oil? And God, would you refresh us with the dew of your presence so that we can go and be who we're supposed to be? Now notice the end of Psalm 133 and verse 3. How many love just three verse Psalms? That just works, right? Some of you have read Psalm 119 and it's the longest Psalm in the Bible and you're wondering if you're ever going to come out the other side. Here's one that's very simple. Look what it says. It's like the oil. It's like the dew descending. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. For there, where? Where people dwell together in unity. Where? Where people discover that they are God's children. And they come together for the purpose of hosting the presence of God in the midst of the earth. Where that people come together, there the Lord commands a blessing. He speaks and it is done. It is the blessing. And what is the blessing? Life forevermore. Or better, what you and I might know, the fullness of life in God's presence. This is where true unity comes from. It is when a people come together, not because of external force, not because of artificial restraints, but because we are of one heart, one mind, one soul. We determine we will come together to glorify Jesus and exalt that name above every other name. We don't come together in uniformity. Jesus never told us to make duplicates. He said, make disciples. So you don't have to be like me and I don't have to be like you, but our heart, our unity is on this one purpose, that we will have the name of Jesus made famous in this house and in this region by the glory of the Lord. And then as that is our purpose, as we just come and say, God, this really isn't about me. This really isn't about you. It's about you. Then God commands His blessing to come upon this people. And unity comes because of God. Unity is not something that we can work up. It's something that we are called to walk in. It's not something we create, but it is something that we can destroy. And so we are called to keep unity. Keep it. God gives it. And then He tells us, keep it. Here's the verse. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. You and I are to always be endeavoring not to create unity. That only comes from Him. But to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity must come down as the blessing of God on His people. In the same way the oil hit the head and came on the body, in the same way that the dew hits the top of the mountain and comes all the way down, the blessing of God, the unity, comes from the head because He alone is the source. How many know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwell in perfect unity? How many know there's never been an argument? How many know there's never been a disagreement? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live in this beautiful... I have to be honest with you, as a young person, I never understood Trinity. I'm still a mystery to me. I would never dare to even say but I've grown a little bit. I used to think it was like a hierarchy. Father, Son, and I never could figure this out. It was like Father, Son, and somehow a bird was in there. There was like a dove or something. I was like, what is this? You know? Then I learned it was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He was the one who scared you into praying. No, I'm kidding. I was never really sure about that. But it was like this hierarchy. Father, Son, and Holy. But let me tell you what the Trinity really looks like. There's no hierarchy. because they are all co-equal, three individual persons that make up our Godhead, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not a hierarchy, but picture this, a circular table where they are all face to face, and they are in beautiful and perfect communion, and there is never an argument or disagreement. They are in perfect unity as the Godhead. And they love, listen, the Godhead loves to brag on the other. Brag on the other. The Jesus says, I don't do anything except I see the Father do it. I don't say anything except I hear the Father say it. The Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And the Holy Spirit says, when I come, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to point you. I'm going to talk about myself. I'm going to talk about him. And there's always this beautiful affirmation, one of the other. And it's a picture of the unity that comes to us. It's not a hierarchy. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're part of his family. When I call him my father, I call you my brother or my sister. And this is not about this kind of pyramid thing where some people are greater than the other. We are the anointed of the Lord. Amen. We are the ones who are under our great high priest. Amen. And all of us, myself included, right here, under the authority of his name and his word. No one stands above it. And we enjoy beautiful unity because that which the Godhead enjoys, when we determine to come together to honor God, he pours that anointing on us. He allows the refreshing dew of his presence to come so that we're in his presence and we're like, this is where I belong. I was made to live right here. And you were. You were made to live in his presence. Maybe today you're like, you know what, I go to church, I enter church. No, there's so much more. Come on in. Come into the fellowship. Come into the beautiful unity of the Spirit of God and what he is doing in us and among us. I mentioned, and I'm closing, this is my first of four closes. I'm almost done. And I told you these are the Psalms of Ascent. Begins in Psalm 120, if you look at your Bible, and it goes to Psalm 134, 15 Songs of Ascent. And these were the songs that Israel sang as they went up to Jerusalem. Words like this, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You'll find that in the Psalms of Ascent. The children of Israel sang these as they went up to Jerusalem at the command of the Lord, moving together, sharing one common purpose, sharing one common path, sharing one common goal. You know what the goal was? God. They wanted to meet with God. See, it's beautiful that you get to meet with each other and that we get to meet together. It's beautiful. But if you meet us and you don't meet him, you've missed the whole purpose of coming here. He said, I'll be there where two or three are gathered in my name. I'm here. See, you can find God anywhere, but you can meet him in his house. And he wants to meet with you. And he wants to touch you personally and powerfully. He wants that anointing of the Spirit to be rich and real in your life, and he wants the dew of his presence just to refresh you in Jesus' name. Would you open your heart to receive that today? Father, as we come before you as your children, we thank you for the way you father us, you shepherd us. We thank you for your heart for each and every person in this building, every person watching online. We thank you, God, for how important they are to you. And I ask in this moment, in this house of your presence, that they would sense the nearness of your glory, the nearness of your grace, that they would not run from you, but they would run to you and into your arms, that they might experience your love, your mercy, your forgiveness, your kindness. Father, for any who are on the outside today, who have yet to really open their heart and step into the kingdom, let this be the moment where they say, Jesus, come into my life. Let me come into your life and let me experience this blessing that is being talked about today. We repent of every sin and anything that hinders, and we turn to you whose arms are open to us today, and we receive a fresh anointing of your Spirit. We receive a fresh refreshing. As I say that word, I speak over you a refreshing in the name of Jesus. Refreshed in your spirit, refreshed in your soul, refreshed in your body in the name of Jesus. God, in this moment, as we are together in unity, command the blessing upon us, God. Banish every bit of sickness and disease. Banish every bit of heartache and heartbreak. God, let there be wounds that are healed, and let there be lives that are transformed by your glorious presence. All around this room, just lift your hands and your heart to the Lord. Just begin to receive this fresh anointing. God, I thank you. It's not about a pastor being anointed. It's about our Savior, the Anointed One. And we are all under you, the great head of the church. We ask that your anointing would come upon our lives. Fresh oil fall upon each and every one of us. God, anoint us for service. Anoint us with the purpose of reaching others and taking this beautiful message of the gospel to as many as we can. And we pray, Lord God, for refreshing now to come to your children, refreshing to come to your saints, and that, God, they would experience your mercy and your grace in new ways. In the beautiful name of Jesus. In the beautiful name of Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning? And as you do, let's just lift our hands one more time and let's say, God, this is kind of like a funnel. If you're pouring out oil and you're pouring out the dew, just let it land on me. God, drench me today with your presence. Thank you that I don't leave your presence in this building. You don't wait here for us to come back next week, but God, you go with us. This anointing is upon us. This refreshing is within us. And we leave this building with a new perspective that we are yours. Everything we face with you. We are never alone. Your presence, your purpose, your power is available. Anoint us, refresh us, and use us for your glory. We ask this together as your people. And everyone said in unity, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. Can you give the Lord praise together? Let's do that. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to see that I want to give you, but we will take our time and we will build line upon line. But how many are seeing that God has a very special purpose for this beautiful church? In fact, look at the person next to you and say, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. Amen. Well, we want you to, as you go from this place today, we want you to be especially blessed. Make sure you see Pastor Eric and welcome him officially if you haven't done that. I do want to make note before we leave today that we do have some Buffalo Bills shirts here in the front row. The silent intercession for the Bills today to get off to a good start. And just enjoy your day. Enjoy the fellowship of the saints. You don't need to leave. There's coffee. There's refreshments here for you to. If we haven't met you personally, Marilee and I would love to say hi before we dash out the door. And would you pray a special prayer for that house to go this week? Would you, in Jesus' name? So I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you because he's already blessed you. I bless you with an anointing that comes from him and a refreshing that comes from God. I bless you in your pursuit of one goal, the heart of God. May you discover it more and more and more in the days to come. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.